The French filmmaker Chris Marker followed his own unique path through the last half century, exploring a variety of subjects in a series of idiosyncratic films that often stretched the boundaries of standard cinema technique. Many of his films are now available on home video, and a reappraisal of his body of work is underway. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Chris Marker passed away in July of 2012, but his work continues to intrigue audiences and confound classification. Icarus Films has released a number of Marker's work on home video, including his 1996 film, Level 5. The Brooklyn Academy of Music recently held a retrospective of Marker's film and video work, and I'm delighted to have on the program today Nellie Killian, curator of the BAM Cinematheque's celebration of Chris Marker. Good morning, Nellie.
Hi, Charles. Thanks for having me on the show.
Wonderful to get to talk to you about Chris Marker. Frankly, this is one of those filmmakers that if you're a lucky cinephile, you occasionally come across a figure like this that just expands your worldview of what cinema is. Mm-hmm. I wanted to start by asking you, Marker was a photographer, writer, filmmaker, a multimedia artist. You could also say culture critic and a number of other things, with a career that lasted 50 years making art and films. But I gather he was personally quite elusive. He did not give many interviews. What can you tell us about Chris Marker, the man?
Well, much of what I know about him comes through his work, which I think is very personal. I know that he was, or from what I understand, he was actually very open with correspondence with people who he reached out to, other artists, other activists. Personally, I don't know how elusive he really was, but I mean, you get the sense from his work that he was, a very empathetic, very curious, very politically committed person, an artist who always was looking for a way to sort of share that sort of feeling he had for the world and for what was going on in the world with people.
And he often worked under assumed identities and sometimes wrote interviews with himself that he produced both the questions and the answers. And you recently curated a large retrospective screening series of Marker's work there in Brooklyn. And I'm wondering, when you put all of his films together in a compressed time frame and get to watch them and view the totality of his film work, I'm wondering, do certain themes or interests strike you?
Yeah, definitely. I think he was always interested in new technology and in the sort of expressive potentials of every technology he was working with. He was interested in people and animals, revolutionary politics and people struggling for a more just world. Mm-hmm. He was interested in travel, interested in different ways of life around the world. I mean, I think all of those things come out across, interested in collaboration, I think that's another big one. Many of his films were done in collaboration with other people. One sort of great example is we showed Be Seeing You in Class of Struggle on a double bill during the series, and Be Seeing You is a film he made about workers in a textile factory, and he showed the work to the subject of the documentary, who had notes for him on how they had been portrayed and what about the film, and then he came back and made a work in collaboration with them where they were able to continue the story, and he truly collaborated with them, bringing their sort of perspective into the work that he had done.
I think a lot of that stuff is interwoven into the feature-length film Level 5, which you screened for a week there and which has just been released by Icarus Films, and I watched last week and was really mind-expanding. It's a difficult film to classify, but I guess we should try. How do you tell people what Level 5 is about, or can you?
Yeah, it's like a difficult one to fit into a nutshell or whatever. It's a movie about a woman who is sort of exploring or sort of encountering, I guess, the Battle of Okinawa through this video game. So she's interfacing with this technology. It's set in the 90s and has a real sort of the moment approach. I mean, as with Chris Marker always, like a very of the moment approach to technology, but sort of this infinite capacity to see the potentials of the ways that technology
could be prescient, applicated
in a way that makes it not feel dated, but actually kind of like maybe someone from the future looking at the technologies of the past. And sort of through this interface of working with this video game, which was an unfinished video game that I believe like her boyfriend or something had started, she is sort of reliving the battle and sort of reliving this history and also just encountering sort of the different strands of this sort of terrible moment in the war.
And it really gets at how information is transmitted too. That's one of the overlaying themes, it seems, of the film, is that he's trying to redress in some ways that as she's working on this video game about the Battle of Okinawa from World War II, that he's also trying to teach the viewer about that battle and maybe expose us to some truths that had been suppressed by both the American and Japanese governments.
Yeah, I mean, he's trying to get like a really, you know, well-rounded like picture of what happened and something that really, I think, exposes like the human element of it.
Mm.
And I think he's also really interested in, you know, so much of it is told through this sort of, it's almost like she's Skyping or something.
Yes, it's like a video blog or a diary that, you know, seems very normal to us now in 2014, but in 1996 seems rather prescient of where this technology would be leading us.
Yeah, and I think he's very attuned to sort of the way that she's sort of having this conversation that is at once like a monologue and also a conversation with, you know, a viewer that could be many people or, you know, could be, I mean, it's very sort of prescient in the way that people interact with the internet now, that it's like both a solitary endeavor and something that is actually a conversation with the world.
At some point halfway through it, it does skip to actual documentary footage and it begins to morph into an expose, if you will, of some of the atrocities and horrendous things that occurred to produce an unusually high civilian death count in Okinawa of 150,000 civilians, many from suicide. And it seemed one of the things that propels Marker in this film and some of his other films that deal with memory is trying to get at how imagery becomes memory, becomes truth, and making us acknowledge that, you know, the world is more complex and there's always a level that we can't seem to attain.
That even your own memories can become sort of like infected by what happens afterwards, or it can become like codified in ways that sort of end up obscuring.
I think the title itself, and there's a few references to level five in the film, you know, using sort of a game terminology that as one works their way through this game, she's programming that you will attain each level by amassing a certain amount of information about the Battle of Okinawa and correctly answering questions about it. But that level five is the highest level, which really is not attainable because, and I'm wondering if in your view of Marker, is that because for him, facts and truths are limitless, or because maybe facts are so altered by our own perception or perspective that, you know, we can never really attain that truth?
I guess maybe this is a more pessimistic view, but history is immutable. That, like, no matter how much you understand something, you can't change things that have happened.
Which is a very different type of video game. You know, I wonder if it's also functions as a critique of what was becoming, you know, the rage of video games, in which we now have these games that are based on historical locales and where one can change and adapt actual history within the game, whereas his game within his film is designed to try to get at a better understanding of history rather than allowing the game player to alter history.
Yeah, what you're playing at is not, I guess, like going through the motions of, yeah, some like alternate history, but it's about coming to a greater understanding.
I wonder, too, if the technology, you know, he just seems so excited. You can sense it with the possibilities of technology, whether it's this woman's ability to do a video diary and speak to us, but also maybe speaking to this lost collaborator, the death of this collaborator of hers. But it's an outlet for her. And, of course, we now have everybody talking into their cameras and into screens. He just seemed, even in a later age, I guess in 1996, he would have been in his 70s already. He was one of those constantly curious characters.
I've read like correspondence with him talking about hearing about unrest in Chile or in Cuba and just like getting on the next plane. You know, he really wanted to be at the center of what was happening and like never really lost that sort of, I guess, like desire to participate with, you know, with the world around him.
Of course, he started making films in the early 1960s, which in France would have been, you know, the front end of what became the French New Wave movement of new directors like Truffaut and Godard, who were really reinvigorating French cinema. Was Marker a central part of that movement, or was he more of a parallel movement but swept up kind of in the times and went in his own direction?
I think, you know, he was, you know, of like the larger movement of, you know, film in the 60s in France, you know, part of sort of the left bank of filmmakers with Agnès Varda, and he collaborated with René on Statues Also Die. I believe he was very close with like Simone Signoret and Yves Montand, but he definitely did his own thing.
He was bumping up around the edges of it, maybe, is a better way to...
Bumping up around the edges of it, and like, I mean, it's obvious, sort of looking at a lot of his work, Level 5 has, you know, sort of a reference to Laura by Preminger.
Right.
Vertigo, Nagisa Oshima appears in it. Sans Soleil has like the long Vertigo, the famous Vertigo passage. He is someone who was obviously very invested in film history, as like many people in the New Wave were. He worked with people like Joris Ivens, Mario Rescoli, you know, filmmakers in Europe who were making really politically engaged documentary work. He had he made two films about the Soviet filmmaker Alexander Medvedkin. So, like many people in the French New Wave, he was deeply invested in the history of film and in filmmakers who'd been doing interesting work, you know, throughout that history.
All the more reason it's so important that you did this retrospective, and I'm so happy that you could take time to share your insights on the work and life of Chris Marker with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show.
My guest today has been Nellie Killian, curator at the Brooklyn Academy of Music Cinematheque in Brooklyn, New York. We've been discussing the career and films of Chris Marker. Marker was, among other things, an idiosyncratic artist, photographer, and filmmaker. Marker passed away in the summer of 2012 at the age of 91, and the BAM Cinematheque recently held a retrospective screening series of his work, including the late feature Level 5. Level 5 and a number of Marker's earlier films are available through Icarus Films. For more on Chris Marker and his groundbreaking films, visit IcarusFilms.com. On Films Producers, Norma Martinez, I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.